The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? It is game day, and it's the biggest game between the Sharks and the Ducks since 2018. Sharks did not have a typical morning skate today. It was optional. But some of the news that we are seeing out of that is that Igor Chernyshov is apparently dealing with an illness. The word is that if he is not ready to go, then Ty Dellandrea will slot into the lineup. Now, if Chernyshov can play, it sounds like all the lines will be the same. If it has to be Dellandrea, it sounds like there might be some changes going on. This is per Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now. But as a reminder, the game is at 6 o'clock tonight, moved up an hour because it is being nationally televised on TNT. Pre-game 5:30, go time 6 o'clock right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Just a little bit earlier this morning, I did, however, speak with Eric Stevens of The Athletic. He covers the Ducks and the Kings at a very in-depth level and also knows hockey inside and out. So we talked at length about a number of topics around the West and the NHL. And we started out talking about how the Vegas Golden Knights, in light of their coaching change, it's not like they're the only team in the West that has been struggling. Really, everyone in the West, except for the top three teams in the Central, has not exactly run away with things.
No, you're right. And it's almost like you've got a trading places situation going on. You know, it's almost like, you know, for whether it's the division here, the Pacific, whether it's the wild card, you know, second wild card race or whatsoever, it almost feels like, you know, whoever's got the streak at the very end is going to be the team that's in. Because, you know, those positions have changed hands. You know, at one point it was almost nightly, but, you know, you go between Nashville, San Jose, Seattle, St. Louis. I mean, Winnipeg's not even, you know, Winnipeg hasn't closed the door, you know, on potentially squeezing in. So, I mean, it makes for an interesting and very fun race. You know, it's almost like a snail's race to the to the wild card here. I don't know if you recall, you know, the games at the carnival where you shoot the water into the and it's like, yeah, you know, you hit the target for a while and you move forward and then you don't, and then
it's true.
It's though. It really is. It's one of the craziest races that I've seen, you know, really in my time covering hockey.
Well, the most amazing thing is that San Jose lost six in a row. Then they have won two games in a row. They find themselves 2 points out with multiple games in hand. They play the fewest amount of games of anybody in the NHL, which sets up a great game tonight against Anaheim, and so much young talent on the ice. The NHL and TNT are going all in on the young talents. And I know that this is not the Ducks-Sharks matchups of old, which was, you know, established legends, great players, rivalries, you know, going back quite a long time. This is new. It's fresh. It's California. It's young stars all over the place. I mean, the NHL just must be looking at this and saying, oh, this is, you know, along with Chicago and some of the other teams, this is what we want to see over and over for the next decade or longer.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this is what tonight is doing. It's hinting at the future.
Yeah.
I mean, the now is important, obviously. And this game is hugely important for both teams, but this really does hint at the future and sets up what could be, like you said, what was once an awesome rivalry, particularly in the 2000s, particularly in the 2010s, we're almost, you know, cycling back to that. And there's just, you know, there's just tremendous high-end talent that's going to be showcased on a national level here on both sides. you know, young guys that are going to be the linchpins of their teams for, you know, perhaps the next decade or more. You know, we do, obviously, obviously Macklin Celebrini is the franchise face of the Sharks now. And the guy that's dragging, you know, a 19-year-old that's dragging, you know, San Jose into this, you know, into this playoff discussion really here. And then you've got guys like Leo Carlson on the other side who, you know, is, you know, bound to be Anaheim's, you know, number one center, you know, and a potential star here, you know, again, over the next decade here. So, you know, I think it's just wonderful. I think it's great. You know, we know, Ted, here on the West Coast that, you know, oftentimes, I wouldn't say we get ignored, but, you know, when it comes to national coverage whatsoever, it tends to still swing toward the East whatsoever. So, you know, the fact that you've got these two teams on the West Coast here, you know, two that are set up with really bright futures here to be showcased in front of a national audience. You know, I think this is just going to be great and really just kind of set up what, you know, what this could be. You know, this could be like, you know, going here for, you know, the next several years.
One of the things that really struck me about looking at the stats going into tonight's matchup is how both these teams are pretty much the same in goals against. That's clearly a weakness for both these teams. Yet Anaheim is in a much better position in the standings. Obviously, they have many more wins. What do you think the main difference is? I mean, oversimplified, I feel like, well, Anaheim is a year ahead in their rebuild compared to where the Sharks are. But I know it's more complicated than that, and you have a more, you know, intimate view of it than we do here in San Jose. So what's your view of where Anaheim is versus where the Sharks are and where they want to be? Because even the parallel, everyone said this year the Sharks will have a successful season if they can make a big jump like Anaheim did a year ago. And, you know, now they have pretty much done that, what Anaheim did last year, but Anaheim is still a year ahead. And next year, I'm sure people are saying, well, we want San Jose to be where Anaheim was in the 25-26 season. I just feel like, you know, you're constantly trying to catch up, but Anaheim keeps leveling up.
Well, you know what? Let's take it back a little bit further, Ted. I mean, what you're saying is right in the fact that, you know, Anaheim is, say, a year ahead of San Jose or years, whatever. But that sort of, you know, started years ago in terms of the Ducks really embracing and entering a, you know, a full rebuild or sort of a teardown, so to speak, whatsoever. They did theirs before the Sharks did, you know, frankly. And so, you know, really they've just been on similar cycles. It's just that, you know, there's sort of a year that separated the two. You know, I think with Anaheim, at least right now, what Pat Verbeek has done is that he's been able to surround his young, you know, his young talent, his young core, really, with more veterans that are playing, more veterans that are playing at a higher level than, say, the Sharks. That's not to say that, you know, that San Jose doesn't have some, you know, some good performing vets on their club. It's just, I think that Anaheim has more of them right now, and they're playing maybe, say, at a little bit higher level. You know, we've seen it this year. I mean, you know, Jacob Trouba, Chris Kreider, they've been kind of rejuvenated since leaving the Rangers. You've got a solid veteran in Alex Killorn. You've got obviously Rako Gudas is their captain. He's been their captain for the last couple of years. But you know, they've dotted their lineup with, you know, Mikael Granlund, you know, which, we know obviously what he did, you know, for the Sharks in a particularly down period, but still it was important. And I think it's an important acquisition then. Well, you know, Anaheim has him now, and when he's been healthy, he's played well. You know, it's, and it just reflects, I think, you know, some of what Mike Greer still needs to do in terms of, you know, surrounding his young core star, surrounding Macklin, you know, obviously Will Smith, you know, even Igor Chernyshov, who we're seeing starting to develop whatsoever, surrounding them with, you know, say, you know, a little bit higher level of veteran play, you know, guys who are not just, you know, not just complimentary players, but important players as well, where they're, you know, say, you know, they're getting into the position to where, you know, they can make an add like what Anaheim did at the deadline in getting, you know, somebody like John Carlson. They don't, that's basically what Mike Greer's next step will be, you know, for this club.
The Sharks have never had an easy time in free agency. A lot of their biggest acquisitions, Joe Thornton, Brent Burns, Erik Karlsson, all came by way of trade. Now, that's a previous era. I'm talking about Doug Wilson. Now, Macklin Celebrini appears, though, to have a magnetic pull. And I do think the tax issue with California is always overrated. That's something that, you know, as somebody who's freezing in a Canadian market, what they would be like to have an 80-degree day in the state of California when it's the month of March, that might have a lot of pull, too. But how does Mike Greer sell the San Jose Sharks beyond just, oh, come play with Macklin Celebrini? Because I know that the pull of Macklin and where his career arc is headed probably has players thinking, yeah, this is a team for the future that's going to be in contention year after year. But it's never that easy for a general manager to say, come to this market, come to the Bay Area. Yes, you know, like Southern California, it's one of the most expensive places to live in the world. However, what it offers, what we offer as a franchise is worth it.
Well, you know what? I think in some instances, Mike's job is not done in that regard. But the way Macklin has blown up here, and we're at a point now where everyone is bought in to what he is. He's a superstar. He's not this isn't a guy, you know, with a bright future, or, you know, a guy who's just hitting stardom. I mean, let's be frank here. He is the guy. He's the franchise face. And, you know, I've talked to players myself and who said, how could you not want to play with him? So in a sense, the selling San Jose portion of it, I mean, that playing with Macklin portion of it kind of takes care of a lot of it. Now, clearly, he's got to show, too, though, that the Sharks are going to be on this upward path, that they're going to be a team that will contend for a Stanley Cup, say, you know, over the next 5 to 8 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just throwing out a number or so. Yeah. But that's an important time period for a player, particularly one who, say, you know, is in, maybe they're in their prime right now, or, you know, maybe they're kind of, you know, at that 26 to, you know, 25 to 26, the age range whatsoever, where free agency is on the horizon or is going to be coming up on the horizon. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's why you see talk, you know, that surface of, well, you know, if you're Austin Matthews and you are taking a hard look at the Toronto situation, do you want to waste maybe two more years of your prime in sort of an undistinguished fashion here if there's going to be a major retool there whatsoever? So I think it just opens the eyes for, say, you know, high-level players, star-level players, to see now that San Jose is, again, a destination city. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, the tax issue, you know, in some ways, and I've talked to plenty of people about it, in some ways, it is a bit overblown, and it can be mitigated. But and others have said, no, it very much is an issue. And I'm talking about players, executives. I mean, it's whatever. It kind of cuts both ways, honestly. But I think for the most part, players still, they want to go to a place where they want to win. Yeah. I think the majority of them, yes, there are those other things, you know, quality of life, family life, you know, or whatsoever. Those are all important. Those are part of the decision making. But I think, at least for now, because of Macklin, San Jose is now back on that list of cities that I think good players would consider.
Just to go back to the Olympics real quick, when they had that line of McDavid, McKinnon, and Macklin, I mean, where does that rank in terms of the all-time trio of talent in any sport you've watched? Because the immediate thing I thought of here in the Bay Area was when you had Steph, Clay, and KD all playing together for a brief moment in time, just because it was such, you know, an incredible trio of scores and talent. And to watch Macklin and McKinnon and McDavid play together, I was thinking to myself, I was like, I don't know that I have other frames of reference. I guess I could go to some of those great Lakers teams, you know, maybe make an argument about what the Dodgers have right now, or when Shohei and Trout were teammates with the Angels. But I mean, it's a short list. It's a very short list.
You know, you're right. And I think out of that, beyond, you know, beyond Macklin and his ability being exposed and shown to a worldwide audience, you know, those that maybe are, you know, just watch hockey, you know, sporadically or really, you know, or maybe we're just watching the Olympics because they love the Olympics and they, you know, we're following hockey. But beyond that, I think the fact that it was clear that he fit, he was a perfect fit. I mean, he belonged with them.
Yeah.
And in some ways he was driving them. I mean, he fit right beside Nathan MacKinnon and Connor McDavid in terms of his play. I mean, we even look at the gold medal game. What if he scores on a couple of those chances that, you know, that he had in the third period? You know, it could have been completely flipped and Macklin would have been a national hero in Canada. And you know, and his, you know, if there's anyone whose star would have even gotten brighter, which is almost impossible to think of, you know, that it would have been that in that instance. But I think just the fact that he showed that he fit right with them, and the comments that were made by McDavid and MacKinnon and others about Macklin, this is why I say that, you know, I use the word that he is a superstar now. He is legitimately an NHL superstar and legitimately one of the best players in the world.
What do you make of this matchup tonight? Because I know that the stars are going to be the whole selling point for TNT and the national perspective. But, you know, for San Jose, they are fighting for their lives to stay alive in this playoff race. Anaheim wants to hold on to that number one spot in the Pacific because it's a great accomplishment for them. And seeing where, I mean, we only look, you know, at Detroit and Buffalo and talk about how hard it is to get out of that rebuild phase. What Anaheim's been able to do is amazing this year, and I give them a lot of credit. But, you know, this is a big game for both these teams tonight.
Yeah, you know what? Well, first off, Ted, we go back to the very beginning of the year and that ending in a 7-6 shootout or 7-6 overtime win. It was a shootout. It wasn't specifically a shootout in that, but it ended in overtime. But I'm not forecasting a 7-6 game tonight. But I mean, really, is 5-4 or 6-5 out of the? I think those are distinct possibilities, you know. And it just shows, you know, it just shows two teams right now who are still evolving, and they're still flawed, and they're willing to trade chances. You know, they're, you know, shaky on defense, often have to rely on clutch goaltending. You know, it'd be interesting to see who San Jose goes with tonight, whether if they come right back with Yaroslav in net or go with Alex. But you figure that Lucas Dostal will be in net for the Ducks. There's going to be no shortage of offense. I mean, I think the most shocking thing would be a 2-1 game where both goalies are standing on their head. Both goalies may need to stand on their head anyway, but I think it's just going to be a fun game, and I think an incredible atmosphere.
Yeah.
But it's great to see the Shark Tank, be the Shark Tank once again.
Hear the remainder of that interview on the Sharks Audio Network. I'll post the full thing shortly here. But again, that was Eric Stevens of The Athletic joining us here on The Build-Up. We're out of time. Pre-game 5:30. Go time 6 o'clock tonight as the Sharks play host to the Ducks. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.